2 of the Thursday edition. Ramon and Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Nashville. Robert Walsh, making us sound good. Ramon Foster to my left. My name is Will Bowling. Brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a locally owned and family-run business. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville. Going to be a venomous Saturday in Neyland Stadium. Andy Staples of The Athletic coming up at 8:20 today to get into the headlines for Tennessee and Florida and more from around the college football weekend in week number 4. And Ramon, win or lose, Our lovely city in East Tennessee might burn this weekend.
Both ways,
good,
right?
Burn or bad burn, it's still a burn. Ooh, burn, baby, man. Burn.
This is a hot one. I was telling you, I was looking at recruiting sites and stuff like that. And, of course, all your 4 and 5 stars want to be there this weekend.
Everybody's there.
And they got to answer the call to every single one of them because you want to sell this environment. You want to win in this environment this weekend coming up. Man, this has got to be the hottest ticket. And it shows. If you go to Vivid Seats, Ticketmaster, StubHub, your labor neighborhood scalper, tickets is high.
There are like parking passes going for $500 for this game, is what I heard yesterday.
Somebody parking pass deserved to be smacked in the back of the neck for that. And not in the face, Will, just the back of the neck. Why would you charge me $500 for a parking pass? Like, come on, give me a neck.
That's a car payment. That's a big car payment.
That's a big dollar. That's a nice size. That's a Will Bowling type of car payment.
No, not at all.
Well, the average car payment now is like $750 a month.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's the average now. Woof. It's around that much.
I ain't never buying another car. You're going to see me on a moped.
As we knew, I am below average.
I'm going to take the pedal tavern to work.
I think we are.
You keep renting mopeds out here?
Yeah, like, come on, man.
The little birdies, man. Yeah,
catch me in a bird scooter. Coming to work.
The average is about $750 now.
Wow.
Yeah, cold blooded. I don't even think that's including your Bentley or Rolls Royce that you got, Will.
Oh, that's true. You know me.
Hey, I appreciate that you let me borrow that the other day, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you're welcome for sure.
Oh, okay.
Hope your lady friend's listening.
No.
And let me stay in your mansion.
No.
That's nice, too.
Let him stay in your mansion.
Hey, man, I didn't even bring this up the other day, but appreciate you saving my brother and my dog and my dad from that burning building, man. That was awesome.
That is my funniest. That's the funniest bit on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah.
Anytime there's like a guy and a girl, or like there's a guy that is specifically on Twitter saying they like a girl, or like someone's going on a date, and all the responses will be like, "Hey man, really appreciate you letting me borrow your Lamborghini."
No, I've never seen that.
They try to put the dude on.
Every single time. It's like, "Hey man, really appreciate you saving my dog from that burning building last week." Every time you see a guy likes a girl and it's like, you know, he's like a young king that you're just trying to boost up a little bit. It's like, "Hey man, I really appreciate you letting me take the Ferrari for a drive the other week."
Wow, I never knew that. I never see that on Black Twitter right there, man.
I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it on all iterations of Twitter.
I gotta get in on that one. I like that type of dry humor, man.
Of course.
Uplifting your kings.
That's right.
There we go.
Go off king.
But yeah, man. I told you I had a bone to pick, man.
Yeah, you do.
We're about to
tell
talk
the people.
About the Vols is where we're going.
That's where we are.
Big game this weekend, of course. Everybody knows. I think if you want to get behind the Vols, and like section RST, like it's like $1,100 or more still.
Whew.
Okay, there are some terrace seats that's still up for sale. Dude, they're friggin', even the terrace, so I figured they'd be a lot more expensive. I think they're like $975 a piece or something. Goodness. Like that. Like they are up, okay?
Right.
But my bone, I can go there, you said.
Of course.
Let's go there.
You have the floor.
I listened to all our teammates here at 104.5.
Oh, good. I was hoping this was going to be something about other people that work here.
Yeah, no, but it's just, we of course, you know, I listen to Bug, Blaine, and Mickey and 3HL in the afternoon when I'm chilling, probably in the car and just on Zone TV all the time. But the conversation comes up, of course, is Vols versus Florida.
Of course.
And I'm just like, okay, well, the initial question is, why can't Tennessee be good? Why can't the Vols be good?
Okay.
Not meaning they're actually good, but like the thought of Tennessee actually doing something good, and maybe it's just the state. I don't know if it's the same way for Auburn or Alabama or, you know, USC or Texas or Miami, you know, like, but the I guess you say the dislike or the hate in this state for the idea that the Tennessee Vols can be good. It bothers people, man. Like, I'm listening to, and I got to call it out because their team sucks right now. Babs. But it's just like yesterday, and she's probably going to text me in a minute.
Probably.
But she was just like,
hello, Don.
Well, Tennessee didn't, I mean, they beat Pitt. Pitt's not a really good team. Okay, whatever. With that being said, we went into overtime with a ranked team, ranked higher than us, according to the polls, okay? But we beat them on the road at their place in overtime when you could have easily dropped that game and probably had every excuse in the world. But in beating Pitt and Akron, I know it was a cupcake games and stuff like that, but in beating them, it meant nothing. You know what I'm saying? To people not fans of the base or people that probably just don't like it. The respect factor isn't there. But if Tennessee had lost to Pitt, what would the narrative have been?
It would be same old Tennessee. Can never beat a ranked team. Can never beat a good team.
How can both of those be the same then?
Well, and I think it's interesting. You make the point, and I think it's a good one, that the narrative about Tennessee, if they lose that game, is it's same old Tennessee. Not able to get over the hump on the road against a ranked team. But after the win, it's, oh, you know, backup quarterback. You know, it looked ugly. Look, the method with which Tennessee beat Pittsburgh is what matters to me. 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that Tennessee's defense won them a game. I don't care if it had been 6-3 or 3-2 like Auburn and Mississippi State back in the day.
Yeah.
I needed to see Tennessee's defense win them a game.
Okay.
Against a good team. But more than that, it's the fact that Tennessee finally beat a ranked team on the road in non-conference play for the first time in 2 decades, Ramon Foster.
At their place.
At their place. That to me is the point, that you got to see a couple of shots go in before you're willing to pull up from the three-point line so willingly.
Yeah.
This was Tennessee seeing a shot go in and feeling more confident now in who they are as a football program going into this game against Florida. I said it before the season when we did our game-by-game predictions for this season. I said, Tennessee's advantage over Florida this year is the fact that Tennessee finally has the weaker schedule of these two teams going into their game.
Yeah.
Florida's a little more battle-tested, sure. Tennessee, I think, can claim that they are too at this point as well.
Battle-tested, but also a loss to a conference rival or a conference team.
And it's a
rival. Getting taken, by USF down to what, Will? When they finally decide to stop letting their quarterback throw the ball?
They're still giving up rushing yards to USF since this show started.
That's what I'm saying.
But the point I want to make there is that Tennessee so often plays the colors and plays the program more than playing who Florida actually is.
Yeah.
Last season, Tennessee was not ready to go to the swamp and beat Florida. But if Tennessee replays that game in November... How many times do we have this conversation about Tennessee and Florida?
Mismanagement a little bit on Tennessee.
How many times?
Yeah.
From when you played there, from when before you played there, after you played there. So many times, Ramon, we have the conversation about Tennessee and Florida and say, you know, if Tennessee could have just got him in November.
Yeah.
Tennessee got better and Florida got worse.
Yes.
Because Florida has usually played one of the directional schools in Florida, an FCS team, and somebody at a neutral site. Because Florida does not play road games in non-conference early on in the season. So at that point, Tennessee has played the teams that it's played in the past. Oklahoma, Oregon, Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, you know, the different teams that Tennessee has played.
Up next year.
And their confidence in themselves as a team and as a program is lower because, they're a little battle-tested, but they're playing a top 10, top 15 Florida team at the time that hadn't played anybody yet.
All right.
Who was usually better than Tennessee. I'm not saying that all these years Florida has actually not been as good as Tennessee. Not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying last year specifically, Tennessee didn't play the team, they played the program.
No, absolutely.
This time, the shoe is completely on the other foot. And for once, you got ahead of Florida in their rebuild.
Right.
You're a year ahead. Lucas Panzeca was talking about this on the Buck Rising show yesterday, and it was the perfect statement to make. That for once... You got the leg up and can start the rebuild before they can.
Yeah.
Which is why this game has to be a win for Tennessee and why it's an exorcism of so many demons. Yeah. Is because if you lose this, then Florida can say, look, guys, like you guys finally figured things out and got your house in order. We still beat you.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, so what I love to hear the conversation. I see we're getting to calls on this right now, but I love to hear the conversation about why is it that if you go into somebody else's place while Florida hadn't even been on the road yet, and I think we all look at Utah as like, ooh, I don't know if Utah knew what they were, looking at their quarterback play and what their quarterback did against them. Florida hadn't been on the road. Tennessee's been on the road against a top 25 team and won. But it's always the flip side of it, Will, is, okay, well, you only beat Pitt. Well, in that case, well, you only beat Utah. How come that conversation isn't the same when we're speaking about what Florida is? But if Tennessee sure. had a lost, oh, it'd be, okay, crap the bed, and let's just flush the season down the drain right now. I'm calling the hate. Yeah. I guess the misunderstanding of what Tennessee, and I know we're a loud bunch. 100%, I get
it's,
that.
It's because the SEC fans that live in the city are tired of hearing Tennessee, in their own mind, acting like they're as good as they are right now while they haven't been this good.
Well, what you supposed to do then? You know what I'm saying? Like, where are you supposed to be? Because I was just listening. It's like, well, what's your record in the last 17 years? And I'm just like, okay, that's fine and dandy. But we're talking sure. about this year in specific. Like, I'm cool with talking about this year right now. Like, you did everything you were supposed to do. This year, you beat the smaller teams the way you were supposed to, and you go get a top 25 win.
Sure.
And now you see one of your biggest rivals in your stadium at home, and it's still like, well, y'all ain't played nobody. Well, they got an L on their schedule already.
Well, and they've got an opportunity to change that narrative this weekend, that is for sure. Either very positively or very negatively. Against this Florida team.
Can't wait to hear what the conversation for or against what I'm saying, too. I just want to hear it. Sure. Like, why is it that way?
Absolutely. 615-737-1045 is the number this morning if you want to jump in. Coming up, a deep dive into where Tennessee has its biggest advantage over Florida, and specifically Florida's blueprint to pull off the upset in Neyland Stadium on Saturday. We get into that. We take more of your phone calls at 615-737-1045. It's Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
Big one in Knoxville on Saturday, and we will be there live from Calhoun's on the River. Will Bowling, Ramon Foster back with you. It is Ramon and Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone. Whether you are tailgating or sailgating, hope you'll come by and see us. Noon to 1:30 live on the 104.5 The Zone airwaves before Tennessee and Florida this weekend. And we go to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, where we talk with Andy Staples of The Athletic, previewing quite a big one in Knoxville this upcoming weekend. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
What's up, Andy?
There's a game in Knoxville this weekend?
Yeah, pretty big one. No, Andy, I actually think, considering Florida and considering the battered Vols syndrome that we deal with on this show from a daily basis, it feels more like an exorcism in Knoxville on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like in that town today and tomorrow, because it is going to be just, everything is going to be vibrating, and everybody's thrilled and happy, and it does feel like this will be fairly cathartic unless they lose. And that is something to consider when you consider that they've only won once since 2005.
There it is.
And there have been plenty of times that Tennessee was better. All right, plenty. But there have been times when Tennessee was better. So, yeah, this is one where – They really should. If you watch Tennessee and you've watched Florida, Tennessee should beat Florida. It should not be terribly stressful. But if that happens, just the joy that will envelop that stadium. I mean, it was big in 2016 when they won.
Yeah.
But I feel like now there's been even more frustration piled on that, because remember that win in 2016, they had the Dobnail boot game, and then they lose to South Carolina, they lose to Vandy, don't win the East. I think it just compounded the frustration. It's like, we beat them and it was for nothing. So this feels like a move towards something, even though Georgia obviously is still out there as this, you know, massive boogeyman. But I think this is going to be a hell of a party this weekend, regardless of who wins the game. And I wish I was in Knoxville.
Andy, just I've been going back and forth. We got like people on the line now. To a question I asked a second ago is, one, why can't Tennessee be good? That's what I'll ask first and foremost. I know a lot of it is probably just dislike for the orange and white and the fan base and stuff like that. But the other thing is this. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat, right? Well, and they went on a roll against the top 25 and beat them. But the issue is when you talk to people about that is, well, Was UT's win against Pitt a bad W? Or if you look at Kentucky, I mean, if you look at Florida's loss, was that a good loss for Florida? I can't understand which one it is.
Oh, look, Florida losing to Kentucky was Kentucky being the better team. I mean, Kentucky really was the better team. And obviously Tennessee and Kentucky will play later this season, and they can all settle that. But Kentucky's really good.
Yeah, they are.
I'm here to tell you that defense, especially. But there's nothing wrong with the win against Pitt. I mean, Pitt's pretty good. It took Tennessee, you know, overtime to beat them, but you're on the road. They had just won a big emotional game in the backyard brawl. Like, I don't have any issue with Tennessee's win against Pitt. I think Tennessee's done exactly what Tennessee needed to do to get to this point.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Andy Staples of The Athletic with us here this morning on Ramon and Will. Have you seen enough, Andy, from Tennessee's defense in that game against Pitt and so far this season to convince you that they're the third best team in the SEC right now?
No, but they have a chance to prove that.
Right.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Florida. Because, you know, with Anthony Richardson, he played very differently against Utah than he played against Kentucky or USF. And he seemed more kind of free. I know they are limiting what they do with him on the ground because they're scared because Jack Miller, their backup, is still out, and they feel like it's a pretty big drop-off if Anthony Richardson gets hurt. So I do wonder if that is affecting him, because it feels like in the first game they just sort of pulled out all the stops, let him play the way, you know, he normally plays. But it also may be that just he got a little spooked against Kentucky, and it hasn't been the same since, because – I just remember there was a play against Kentucky where Jaquez Jones, the linebacker, met Richardson in the hole on a QB draw. Richardson, it had been blocked well, and normally Richardson breaks that guy's ankles and he's gone, and he got planted.
Yeah.
And the look on his face afterward was like, that isn't supposed to happen. And then he throws the interception to Jordan Wright, where Jordan Wright basically sticks out a giant hand, squeezes the football with one hand, and intercepts it. And it was another look on the face like, that's not supposed to happen. And the problem is, when you get in the SEC play, most teams you play are going to have some dudes that do some that's not supposed to happen stuff. And, you know, I thought it would be better against USF where, okay, it's not as athletic a defense. He's going to be able to do some more stuff. But he was playing the same way against USF that he was after those things happened against Kentucky. And so he's got to deal with whatever's in his own head and get that figured out, because if he doesn't throw confidently, Florida isn't going to have a chance. Tennessee's defense is going to look great. That's really the difference in this game, is how confident will Anthony Richardson be in the offense, in his ability to read the defense, and when he throws the ball. Because if he is, then it's probably a pretty good game. If he's not, I don't know how Florida would keep up with Tennessee.
Well, and Andy, too, last year, Matt Corral, I think since this show started, added even more rushing yards against Tennessee last season in that Ole Miss game. He had 220 rushing yards at the quarterback position. Talking to people around the program and just around Tennessee, it feels like that is the fear for this Tennessee team, is you can't let a quarterback who's this athletic beat you in that way like you did in a similar, just venomous environment with a lot of pressure of a worse team a season ago like you did against Ole Miss.
Yeah, and if I'm Florida, you look at what they've done with Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne. Just run the ball.
Yeah.
Like, just run the ball. Make Tennessee put 8-9 in the box and try to stop you, and then try to throw. You know, once they've come in. Because Florida's been able to run the ball against some pretty good run defenses this year, and that, I think, should give them some confidence. It doesn't necessarily have to be Anthony Richardson on the ground, although he's really good when he's full out running the ball and they are letting him run the ball. But even if it's not him, they've shown that the line can open some holes and the backs can get some yards. I feel like that would be the way to go with Tennessee. Now, I'm sure Tennessee's coaches are looking at that Florida USF film and going, hell, we can run on them too. Mm-hmm. You know, this may be a game where the two teams combine for 500 yards on the ground, and we're looking at one of those weird shootouts, and the game ends in like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow, that'd be crazy.
The anti-Tennessee Ole Miss game is what you're saying then about that.
Yeah, both defenses have shown that you can run on them.
Right.
And, you know, Florida's offense, I think the most effective thing they've been able to do is give the ball to those backs. So that just seems like the logical thing to do is try that, try to draw Tennessee defenders into the box, and then maybe you feel like you're a little more comfortable with Richardson throwing.
Mm-hmm. For Florida, how significant is a guy like Ventrell Miller been out? Has that taken away from what their defense is?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he knows everything. He knows every call. I mean, Ramon, you know what it's like when you don't have that guy who communicates everything that people need to know.
Right.
And I think that's the deal. When he's not there, it's not as crisp. Everybody's not necessarily always in the place that they need to be. His ability as a tackler is important, but his ability as the guy who gets everything set pre-snap is really, really important.
When you look at their defensive line, they have a guy on their team, and I think that's Cameron?
About Big Dez?
Yeah, there it is. You knew where I was going, man. How Desmond Watson wearing number 21 at that, okay?
I don't think Ramon Foster was not signing up to block a guy that looks like the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Let me tell you, I love those type of guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hell yeah. You want to know why? They can only last for so long. If we get into a pace with a guy like Desmond Watson, he's going to be the first one dropped to the ground. But
Des is not the starter there.
I know, but
Jervon Dexter's the starter.
Yeah.
Dez comes in on very obvious rushing.
Right.
So they don't want Dez run. Remember how Jordan Davis played, you know, 35-40% of Georgia snaps last year? Like, Dez is there for 15-20% of the snaps. Like, he's not a three-down guy. But he is. Moan, they listed at 4'15". What do you think he actually was?
He looks smaller. He's been in the college program now for 2 years. I think he came in at 4'15". I'd give him probably 390.
God, only 390.
See, I think you're going the wrong way. Because here's how college weights work. Uh-huh. Like, if you're the undersized D lineman or O lineman, like, let's say you're an undersized D tackle. Let's say you're like 280.
Yeah.
You're having them bump that up to like 295. on the media guy. But if you're a big guy who needs to lose some weight,
yeah,
what they list you at is probably 15 pounds below what you actually are.
Ooh, right. You think that boy hitting 430?
He's massive.
He's a very large human.
I don't know how anybody moves him. And that's really the whole point of the thing is, you know, he's quick too, so he can move. But even if you double him, he's not moving. So that gap is closed to you. So that's but yeah, it's one of those things when he comes into the game, we're in that tailback number. Give me 21.
But I'm looking at it, I'm just like, well, that's one thing I do look at Florida and say, though, like, that defensive line, you got to watch them. It's not just a regular, like, they are an SEC outfit, man. How have they played?
Yes.
I guess not well, considering what they're giving up as far as yards on the ground. Why is that?
Well, I think it's linebacker depth. We were just talking about Ventrell Miller.
Mm-hmm.
They are pretty good, especially up the middle on the defensive line. I mentioned Dexter earlier. Dexter's going to be a top 100 NFL draft pick. Like, he's 6'6", 310 pounds and can move. So they've got some good pieces. But it's not like Georgia or Alabama or even Kentucky where everybody's solid. You know, they're trying to get to that point. That's a lot of the reason they fired Dan Mullen and hired Billy Napier, is that their depth at all these positions was not what it needs to be. You know, they're just not built to be competitive in the SEC the way they should be. And that's not something you solve overnight. That's not something that would have gotten solved in an offseason.
Yeah.
So that's what they've got to build that up. And, you know, some of the young guys may develop as they go on this season, but it's nice to have Jervon Dexter and Brenton Cox, and they're playing really well.
Right.
But you need to feel comfortable about everybody on the D-line like that, and really everybody in your rotation like that. Because that's what Georgia doesn't care. Georgia's, you know, too deep in their rotation. They're happy with everybody who comes in. They're like, okay, we are confident that if we put you in an SEC game, you will get the job done.
Right.
And that's the goal at Florida, at Tennessee, at Kentucky, that are trying to get to that level.
Andy, we mentioned the kind of the battle to be the third best team in the SEC. Arkansas A&M obviously tells us a lot this upcoming weekend. We've seen Kentucky get the win in the Swamp. Who do you have the most confidence in at this point between Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky as that next best team behind Alabama and Georgia right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think it's Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Kentucky. Now, if Tennessee goes and blows out Florida, then I'm going to probably change it. Although, if Arkansas blows out A&M, I might change that too.
Sure.
I have a bet on the podcast. We had KJ Jefferson, the Arkansas quarterback, on. He's a big Manny Petty guy, and so is my co-host. I don't like people touching my feet, but he's had me sold on it pretty well, KJ did, so... If Arkansas beats A&M, I have to get a Manny Petty, and I might move them into that third best in the SEC. But no, if Tennessee takes care of Florida, because what I'll probably do is comparing how Tennessee performed against Florida to how Kentucky performed against Florida.
Sure,
because Kentucky's defense was awesome against Florida. Kentucky's offense was not particularly great. Like, I expect Tennessee's offense to be a lot more crisp against Florida than Kentucky's was.
Also on the east side of things, the SEC East, man. Shane Beamer continues to have, what do you want to call them, flubs here and there, man? How does he last at South Carolina, or will he right this ship, man? Because I'm questioning with the way, of course, it looked, him wishing the females off the field, or the female athletes off the field and everything, and then the way they lost, of course. But does he last?
We're firing Shane Beamer already? We were extending him for 10 years like 2 months ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, look, the whole thing with the fourth down play, that's a game operations issue.
Yes.
South Carolina's athletic department needs to
yes.
give you a heads up. Hey, we're going to have this many people on the field. It may take a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an official in his ear going, hey, you need to be ready. We're going to blow this ready for play whistle pretty quick. And it's fourth down. You're about to go for it on fourth down. So that was a situation where it doesn't look good, but South Carolina's administration has to help you out a little bit on that. It's funny because I remember talking to a guy at Texas a few years ago, and they basically stopped a lot of those let's bring people out on the field to honor them celebrations because it just kills the energy in the stadium.
Mm.
So we'll see if that gets fixed. But that the getting killed by Georgia part, I hate to break that to everybody. They're going to do that to most teams.
Yeah. Andy Staples has been our guest of The Athletic. Check out the Andy Staples Show and Friends podcast. And maybe Andy Staples will be getting a Manny Petty if Arkansas wins this upcoming weekend. Andy, appreciate the time as always, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There is Andy Staples with us on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Interesting stuff there. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back at 615-737-1045. But some interesting nuggets about Tennessee. And specifically where Andy feels like they stack up in the conference right now. Plus, your chance to win Tennessee Titans tickets on a Titans Ticket Thursday. See the Titans at Nissan Stadium this upcoming Sunday. We've got info about that coming up next. It's Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate a couple minutes from Andy Staples of The Athletic hanging out with us just a minute ago. You can find that conversation wherever you download podcasts at the end of the show today. It is Ramon and Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here on 104.5 The Zone. The phone number is 615-737-1045. Will Bollinger, Ramon Foster with you as we talk a little bit of Vols. Phil in Portland leads us off. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Phil.
What's up, Phil?
Phil.
He must not be feeling it.
Uncle Phil.
And there goes Phil.
Oh, Phil.
Billy in Nashville.
What's up, Billy?
Hello, Billy.
What's up, fellas?
How are
you? Morning.
I'm headed to the game.
Hey, it sounds like a good time.
As we speak right now. By the way, when you drive over here tomorrow, watch it at the Smith County line. There's a couple of Tennessee law enforcement officials that would like to see you.
A good pro tip right there.
Good looking out, Billy.
So I didn't hear Cats talk about it, and I haven't heard you guys talk about it either. While the atmosphere is going to be electric, and I think you're right, Will, I think the town burns one way or the other. What's the deal with the, I mean, Cats talked about the running game, but from what I've heard, Small may be, you know, dinged up at least, and it doesn't sound like Tillman's going to play at all based on what's coming out of Knoxville radio. And then, you know, you also have the injury to Sampson. So will they be able to run?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Billy.
I would think so. I mean,
we're going to talk more about this in the third hour at 8:20, talking about the kind of the one matchup Tennessee's got to win. But I'll give you the stats, you know, coming up. But I feel like this game comes down to whoever runs the football better.
Yeah.
It's just essentially what you have. You have a Florida defense that's good against the pass. You have a Florida offense that's not good throwing with Anthony Richardson. And they don't have that one big target at wide receiver they've typically had in the past.
Yeah, always do.
So this game is one on the ground one way or another. And I think Tennessee's going to have some success there.
I had my neighbor text me and said, man, USF is going to beat them if they don't, if they allow their quarterback continue to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And they started running the ball and USF lost this past weekend.
They got close. Hearing kind of the similar things about Cedric Tillman and Jabari Small for the record as well. I don't think there's a decision made on Cedric Tillman either way. I think they're going to take that thing all the way up to Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's certainly healthy by LSU.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's playing Saturday.
I don't either. I think Jabari Small is pretty much clear,
yeah,
right?
Jerry Sampson? Mack has said that he is a full go at practice.
Well, what do we hear about Sampson? I didn't realize he got dinged
Dylan
up.
Dylan Sampson. Yeah. Jerry Mack said all four running backs are
That's
full
what
go
I thought.
At practice.
Yeah, that was a little false reporting right there. Okay.
Billy's right in saying he's banged up. Yeah.
I mean,
just because they're a full go at practice doesn't mean they're not maybe a little banged up.
No, 100%. Coming off injury. 100%.
615-737-1045 is the number. Travis in White House is up next this morning. Hello, Travis.
What's up, Travis?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Good. We're all right.
Right on. Happy fall, by the way. Happy fall.
Finally.
Thank you.
Finally, yes. Okay, Moan, I'm tracking with you, baby. I'm tracking with you on, you know, your bone that you're picking. You're great about, hey, you know, why can't we get some credit? I agree with you, but at the same time, here's what I'm saying, and I think this is what other people are maybe trying to say. There's a difference between seeing you win games and people seeing you as a winner.
Okay.
And I think that's what we are right now. Tennessee, yes. You know, we won. We beat Pitt. We beat them. We should have beat them. We did beat them. It was a tough atmosphere. You know, I think people seeing us win games over time, both games that we should win and even some games that maybe people count us out of, they will start to see us as winners. And that's where I think a lot of people are. Even when we win games, there's still that little edge that people got that they don't want to give you that credit. I think the Titans are dealing with the same thing. Last year, they saw us win games, but they still didn't see us as a winner. I think the fans started to believe that we were winners, and that's why we were so disappointed with the Cincy game, because it's like, oh, man, I felt like we had a winner, not a team winning games. And that's why I think UT has got to get, if we keep winning, if we beat Georgia or Alabama, hey, listen, don't count it out. We can. people will start seeing us as a winner, and then I think we start getting the credibility and the national press and so forth.
But to win top 25 games, though, and still be like, well, that wasn't a good win. Like, they were ACC champs last year.
I think people want to see Tennessee sustain that against SEC teams now. Yeah. I think that's a good point by Travis.
That was a good point by Travis. Real good call, Travis.
Yeah.
Calling from Simple Sumner County?
That's right.
Okay, all right. Shout out to you, Travis.
615-737-1045, the number. Halftime of the show, and when we come back, we give you the cue to call and your chance to win Tennessee Titans tickets. Titans Ticket Thursday, presented by Bullseye. We give you that opportunity to see the Titans and the Raiders this Sunday in Nissan Stadium. We reset the NFL headlines and look around college football this weekend. Coming up next, it's Ramona Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone.